right. For those of you who are visiting with us this evening, we really appreciate your visit. Amen. But we are right in the middle of a series of lessons on God's foreknowledge, God's pre-election, foreordination, His ability to predestine and plan. We've been studying the book of Romans for the last couple of weeks, and so we're wanting to develop just a little bit more. And I think this evening that what I'd like to say, we're going to be dealing with some very difficult concepts and very difficult things to wrestle with. But the main point of this lesson is for us to try to figure out whether we are a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction, or whether we are a vessel of mercy prepared beforehand for glory. That's what the gospel is really all about. The gospel is the revelation of the mystery that has been kept hidden or kept in secret since before the worlds were created. And so the gospel is actually the revelation of things that God wants us to realize and understand. This is part of why we are here. This is exactly what God wants us to be wrestling with and thinking about, is whether we are part of His solution, whether we are part of those who are going to be used like Abraham, like Moses, like Peter or Paul, vessels of honor, vessels that are meet for the Master's use. And God has given us the criteria that He wants us to understand. So let's begin in Romans chapter 6, and let's just look at this passage. It says, "It is not that the word of God has taken no effect." What Paul's talking about is the fact that Israel rejected their Messiah. Israel crucified their Messiah. And only a small, tiny remnant have shown any interest in obeying the gospel. And so Paul says, it's not that the word has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. And I might say the same thing today. They are not all members of the Church of Christ who are members of the Church of Christ. The Jews thought, if I'm a Jew, I have Abraham's blood and I'm going to be saved. And that proved to be woefully wrong. And as Jesus points out in the gospel, many are called, but only a few are chosen. And so this is something for us to really consider. Verse 7, "Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called." That is, those who are not the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So basically what Paul is referring to here, what he's describing, is that there are two different lines of descendants from Abraham. There's a fleshly line. There's a spiritual line. There's a line that became the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, vessels of wrath who were used to bring God's mercy, which is exactly what happened. That's what Peter said in the first sermon. "You, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, did crucify and slay." So God used the vessels of wrath who came from Abraham's seed to bring about His purpose. And He also used that vessel to bring about the salvation. So let's look at these two lines. I'll just throw these up here really quickly. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. So there are those who are of Israel and are Israel. And there are those who are of Israel but are not Israel. Now, what he's affirming here is that God doesn't see as man sees. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outer appearance. From the outer appearance, they're all Israel. Everybody who is born of Abraham, everybody who comes through the 12 tribes of Israel or Jacob, is of Israel. God says, no, they're not. And then it goes on to say, not all are children because they are Abraham's seed. Well, there are those who are Abraham's seed who are children. There are those who are of Abraham's seed who are not children. And then his last point, the children of the flesh are not God's children. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So Abraham's descendants, who not only possess his flesh, or excuse me, who only have his fleshly resemblance, in other words, they have Abraham's blood in their veins, means nothing. It has to do with his spiritual character. Now, in order to appreciate this, let's go over to Galatians just for a moment, and let's read Galatians chapter 4, where it says, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. So Abraham had two sons. One was born after the flesh, one was born through the promise. Now that's what Paul said. Not those who are of Abraham's fleshly seed, but those who are of the promise. So one by the bondwoman, Hagar, and one by the free woman. The Greek word for symbolic is where our word allegory comes from. There's a symbol here. There's an important symbol. Well, what is it? Well, it's this. We, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. This is a very important consideration. We'll see this toward the end of the lesson in Galatians 3:27, which is just the previous chapter. Paul said, as many of us who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So we become children of promise. We become part of God's election, part of God's foreknowledge, part of God's predestination by our own free will when we choose to be like Abraham, when we choose to become submissive, spiritually minded people. It has nothing to do with anything but a spiritual resemblance to Abraham. So he continues his point, and now he makes the application that as he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. So what Israel was doing to the church is exactly the same thing as what Ishmael was doing to Isaac. And so Paul makes the application. Those who were born only according to the flesh. Those of us who are just fleshly. Those of us who have no spiritual kinship to Abraham. Those of us who are outwardly doing everything we're supposed to be doing. But inwardly, we are as far from Abraham as could possibly be. And brethren, there's only one person who knows that, and that's you or me. I can't answer for you. I can see you doing everything. But unless, like Abraham, you are doing it out of a loving, submissive, faithful, honoring, glorifying God attitude, we're not part of it. And so it's always been like that. As he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Now, Paul's talking about those who are of Israel, but not Israel, persecuting those who are of Israel and are Israel. And Stephen said, you've always done that. Let's look at Acts chapter 7. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Israel who is not Israel. Not the Israel. The Israel who is Israel is being persecuted. So you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers, who were of Israel but not Israel, persecute, and they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now become the betrayers and murderers? So as Paul said, it's not as though the word of God came to naught. As a matter of fact, the word of God was fulfilled. He foresaw this when he called Abraham. There were two lines. There was going to be the line that he was going to use as vessels of wrath to bring salvation. And then there were those he was going to use to bring salvation. So as Paul says in Romans, the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Now, what's Paul's point there? Well, the only reason God did this was to reveal the allegory, to reveal the symbolism. He didn't. He could have picked Jacob and Esau, just like he picked the 12 sons of Jacob. Why didn't he pick Esau? He didn't pick Esau, not because of any works. Esau was just as good as Jacob. There wasn't anything different about that. He didn't use that. But that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Now, essentially what that means is, I have free will. You have free will. God wants to use you. He wants you to use you so he can bring glory to you. But if you won't do that, he will still find. There are still vessels for honor and vessels for dishonor. Remember Paul saying this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, about verses 16, 17, 18. In a great house, there are not only vessels of honor, but vessels for dishonor. But if a man will purge himself, he will become meat for the master's use and prepared for every good work. So if we want God to use us, and we made this point in a lesson 2 weeks ago, God already knows. Remember in Psalms, what was it, 137, 139, where he said, "You, all the days of my life have already been written before I've lived them." God knows the outcome. But it's my free will. And the purpose of this sermon is to get us all to be thinking about, which way can God use me? Am I more like Abraham or am I more like Ishmael? Am I a child of spiritual relationship to Abraham? That's the question. So what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? He's not talking about Pharaoh anymore. He's talking about the Jews who crucified their Messiah and the Jews who were rebelling against him even up to the present moment. You say, well, how do you know that, Alan? Well, look at verse 23. That he might make known the riches of glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory. Who are they? Even us, whom he called. Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So God was pulling out his people from the midst of these fleshly Israelites who had no spiritual communion or relationship to Abraham. They weren't like Abraham at all. As a matter of fact, they were vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. That's what Stephen said. Which of the prophets did you not persecute? And you killed those who foretold the coming of the Messiah, of whom you have now become his murderers. I don't think those Jews ever intended to become the people who crucified their own Messiah. But of their own free will, that's what they did. Why? Because Jesus told them, you are not of Abraham. The Pharisees proclaimed to Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus pointed out the same error that the Holy Spirit is using Paul to reveal in Romans 9 through 11. And the same error that's true today. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. It's just that simple. We'll see this in a moment in Isaiah. Look to Abraham. He alone I called. He is the template. If you can be like Abraham, you will be the children of God. Jesus revealed the bitter truth to them. Even though you are of Israel, remember they complained to Jesus, we are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Jesus said, he that is a slave to sin is in bondage. But here's what he said in verse 44. You do the deeds of your father. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. But Jesus didn't say that to make them angry. He said that to turn them into vessels of mercy. He tried to save all of them. But in pointing out their sins, their weaknesses, their misunderstandings, their character flaws, Remember Paul writing this? Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When a gospel preacher or a Christian, a brother or sister in Christ, comes to show someone their fault alone, or is proclaiming the gospel to those who are lost, the motive is love, care, concern. If the response is hatred, then we know. We're not dealing with someone who has any of the spiritual characteristics of Abraham. When God called Abraham, he didn't cavil, he didn't argue, he didn't say, Lord, I don't want this country, or I don't want to do it like this. He just went. But there are also children of promise. And the purpose of this lesson is to help you and I figure out, am I a child of promise? Or am I just of the flesh? In Romans 4, he says this, Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. God made a decision. We're all children of promise. If you are like Abraham, God makes you his child. You don't have to have any of his blood in your veins. You only have to have a spiritual affinity to him, an emotional affinity to him, an understanding and a realization. I'm just like him. I want to be like him. He is a hero. He could be our idol, idol doesn't fit well here, but you know what I mean. That he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised. He can be the father of all who believe who are uncircumcised. In other words, they don't have any of his veins, or assume any of their blood in his veins. Verse 12, and the father of the circumcision. But notice this, to those who not only are of circumcision, but also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Well, what's Paul's point? There's the fleshly. Ishmael is the sign of the fleshly. Ishmael is the allegory. Ishmael is the symbol. He shows what fleshly descendancy from Abraham is. It has no value at all. But Isaac was a child of promise. And God chose Isaac to be the example for us. So, therefore, no. Only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. If you believe, remember Hebrews 11, verse 6? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If our faith in God, our faith in the scriptures, and our faith in Jesus Christ are unbendable, unbreakable, absolute, total conviction, commitment, and submission, Abraham's our father. If we look through the scriptures to pick the things we like and then find ways to wiggle around the things we don't like, Abraham's not our father. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. You know, we talk about baptism. You were dead in your trespasses. He made you alive. You were buried with him in baptism. You were crucified with him. You were raised with him to walk in newness of life. When I go into the water of baptism and come out, God made me a spiritual son of Abraham or a spiritual daughter. That's what baptism does. If you really believe when you're baptized. If you are truly committed and convicted. Therefore, it is a faith. I can't put Abraham's blood in my veins. You can't either. There's no way that you and I can get any physical blood of Abraham. So how can it be made sure to all the seed? Well, Paul says, because it's a faith. It's the faith of Abraham. And my faith that makes me a son of Abraham. If I don't have his faith, I don't care if I was baptized. I'm not one of his sons. God will not recognize me. I am not a vessel of mercy. I was not foreknown or predestined or called according to his purpose because I don't have the right heart. And that's clearly illustrated by what happened to Israel. They were, what did Paul say? As far as the zeal for the law, I bear them witness. They have a great zeal, but not according to knowledge. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Father of all who? Well, those who are in Israel, who are Israel. Those who are of the seed, who are like Isaac. And then we read God's promise. I've made you a father of many nations. Every Christian in every nation all over the world is a son or daughter of Abraham. God has made them his children. So those with Abraham's spiritual characteristics are the children of promise. Because just like God gave Abraham Isaac when he couldn't physically be born, it was a supernatural birth, a miracle. So am I. So are you. We too are a supernatural birth. Born again. Born of water and the Spirit. Born to become children of God. Adopted into the family of God. And that adoption is not just for God to be my father, but for Abraham to be my father. So let's look at Abraham's spiritual characteristics and see if we're like him. When God called him at the age of 75, he went. When God called you through our gospel, remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14? He called you through our gospel. If we obeyed the gospel, we're just like Abraham. If we don't want to obey the gospel, or when we obeyed the gospel, we had other motives or other reasons or other insincere circumstances involving our conversion and our baptism, we're not like Abraham. We are not his children. We never will be. Then God made him wait. He was 75 when he came into the promised land. So God made him wait until he was 99. He didn't get any of the promises. Remember Hebrews 11, 14? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them and embraced them, confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things are making it evident that they seek a country of their own. And if they had been mindful of the country they went out of, they would have had an opportunity. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Is God ashamed to be called your God? Is God ashamed to be called my God? Not if I have the faith of Abraham. Not if I'm willing to wait. You remember how Paul ended chapter 4? He said that after Abraham's faith was reckoned to him as righteousness, he said, wasn't written for his sake alone, but for our sake, those of us who believe God raised Jesus from the dead, we have the same faith reckoned as righteousness as Abraham did. So, what Abraham was waiting for was a son. What we're waiting for is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Abraham never wavered. He completely trusted God to fulfill his promises. Are we like that? Do we completely trust God, come what may? The world's kind of crazy right now. Some people are wondering, what's God doing? I just say to myself, whatever he's doing, he can do. I'm going to serve him. I'm not going to let any of this bother me. The world has reached points before where millions have to die. The destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. The destruction of Jerusalem by Rome. The fall of Babylon. The fall of Medo-Persia. Many. God has plans. I'm happy he has plans. I just want to serve him in my little corner doing what I can do, just like God said. That's what Abraham did. Nothing more, nothing less. When God asked him to offer his son, And all the promises that son represented, remember God had sworn with an oath, of this son I'm going to make you a great nation, and of this son I'm going to have all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham didn't care. Remember what the Hebrew writer said? He just figured God will raise him from the dead. I know God's going to do what he said. This doesn't make any sense to me that he would want me to kill my son when this is the son that all the promises have to come through. But it doesn't matter to me because I know God will keep his word. That's the kind of faith he wants. And that's the kind of faith we need to be willing to give. And as I point out in Hebrews 11, in Acts chapter 7, in Romans chapter 4, and in James chapter 2, God says, I want you to follow this example. That's why it's there. I want you to work like Abraham worked. That sacrifice was not, or made sure he didn't have a dead faith. So Isaiah says this, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. Do you want to be righteous? Is that your goal in life? To have God see you as someone he can spend eternity with because you are living the life that he wants you to live? Look to me, or listen to me, all you who follow after righteousness, all of you who are seeking the Lord. How do we know? Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Look to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Think about that for a moment. If I have a diamond mine, if I have a diamond mine, and I pull those rocks, I'm pulling diamonds out. So if you want to be a diamond, look to the pit from which you were dug. Well, what is that pit? What is it that God is trying to say here? Look at verse 2. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. These are the children of promise, brethren. These are the true spiritual children of Abraham. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. Not from a fleshly perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. Now, brethren, this is still true today. That's why Paul put Romans chapter 4 in there. Abraham is the father of all who believe, who have the faith of Abraham. So what did God do for Abraham? I called him alone. And if we want to be called, we have to go through the process of becoming like him. And that's what the gospel is designed to do. The gospel is designed, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God chose the foolish things, the base things, the despised things, the things that are not, in order to call these people. Only these people will come. God has so crafted the gospel so that only true children of Abraham will even be interested in coming. If you're not interested in the gospel, you are declaring to God, I'm not worthy to spend eternity with you. You are declaring to God, I am not a child of Abraham. I am not a vessel of mercy. I have not been chosen since before time began because I'm not responding properly. My free will has to fit into God's criteria or I'm going to be cast away. So Abraham is the father of all the elect. God promised him. It is fixed. It can't be changed. It can't be modified if you are not looking to Abraham. You say, well, wait a minute, Al. I thought we were to look to Christ. Well, absolutely we're supposed to be looking to Christ. But Christ is a shepherd. He's a king. He's the chief cornerstone. It just goes on and on, all the different figures and symbols to try to help us understand. This is just another one of those. God is just using one more method. Maybe the other methods aren't touching you. Maybe this one will. Maybe the realization, I need to be like Abraham. Maybe that'll be the one thing. Oh, my, I'm not like Abraham. But if I want to be one of the elect, if I want to be one of the chosen, one of the predestined, remember Romans chapter 8? Those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. Where are we in that process? He foreknew a certain class of people. He called that class. If I don't make myself one of those people, and I can. That's the interesting thing. Free will can change. Paul was a vessel of wrath, fitted for destruction. He was destroying the church, persecuting the church, killing Christians. But on the road to Damascus, his spiritual kinship to Abraham came out, and it never, ever left him. So Abraham has two lines. He has vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. You can read a lot about them in prophecy. God prophesied that Israel would crucify their own Messiah. He prophesied that. In Isaiah 53, in Daniel, in Ezekiel, in Zechariah. The vessels of wrath fitted for destruction are all of Abraham's seed who didn't want to be like him. They didn't want to be trusting, submissive, loving, righteous, godly people. The vessels of mercy prepared for glory are all of Abraham's seed due to a spiritual likeness. Children of promise, because only God can draw, but both based by choice, your choice. You have the right to choose. You still have that right to choose as long as you live in this life. Once you die, God takes over. If you've made yourself a vessel of wrath, that's how God's going to treat you. If you've made yourself a vessel of mercy, a vessel of honor, a vessel meet for the master's use, that's how God will treat you. If you want to be among the 7,000 who never bowed the knee to Baal, don't bow the knee to Baal. If you want to be one of Abraham's true children, be like Abraham. Pretty basic. So both elections are based on Abraham. I can see our time is going, so I'm not going to spend as much time on this as I had intended to. I won't read it. But there are two things here. God made a promise to Abraham. You leave your country, and I'll make you a great nation. As soon as Abraham's foot touched Canaan, God obligated himself to make him a great nation. After he offered Isaac, God swore by his own name. He swore that I will make of you a great nation, and through your seed all nations of the earth will be blessed. So, well, that was one other point I wanted to make here that I forgot. And that is this little point right here. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. Well, later, Isaiah has to talk about that. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved. God saw that from eternity. But the choice is given to us. From the call of Egypt, or a call out of Egypt, until Rome destroyed them, in every generation, there was a Moses, or a Joshua, or a Samuel, or a David, or an Elijah, or an Elisha, or all the prophets. God found true children of Abraham who would listen to him, children of Abraham who wouldn't try to change his word, who wouldn't try to put their own will above his will. And he picked those people. The remnant, the rest of Israel, when Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt, there were 600,000. But 600,000 of them were vessels of wrath, fitted for destruction. And they died in the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb were the vessels of mercy, along with a few others that we don't always read about. They were there. So spiritual descendants, they just do everything God asks them to do. That's what I love about the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is so different. I've been a preacher now for over 40 years. I've studied with a lot of different churches. And the one thing I find about the Lord's Church, we always use a verse with everything we say, and we always change if those verses prove us wrong. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. If the verse convicts us, we just change. Now, again, that's a remnant. Not every Christian in the Lord's church is doing that. But the true ones are. So we just have to make a decision. God's flesh, or Abraham's fleshly children, never wanted to be a part of his scheme of redemption, so God made them bring the scheme of redemption into being. Him being delivered up by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. In other words, God knew you were going to do it, and he planned for you to do it, and you worked right into his hands. You thought you were rebelling against God. Why did the nations rage? Peoples imagine a vain thing. Let's throw off their bonds and their yoke. And the Lord's in heaven laughing at them, because they're doing exactly what your hand made or chose to come to pass. When they crucified their Messiah, they sealed the scheme of redemption. They brought it into being. Now, they'll never be a part of it unless they repent. But God used his fleshly children. That was part of his eternal purpose. So again, God endured with much long suffering those who were of Israel, but not Israel. And even with God, all God did to try to keep them, they just kept making themselves vessels of wrath. He sent prophets, they killed them. He gave prophecies, they ignored them. He sent his son, they scoffed at him, they mocked him, they tried to circumvent everything that he did, and they finally put him to death. But God was so wise that when they put him to death, eternal salvation became a reality. And so God endured with much long suffering through the centuries. But now he's going to use them to make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called. Did he call you? Well, if you obeyed the gospel, he did. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're still out. Now, it's not done yet because you're not dead. But when you die, if you're out, God will just say you're a vessel of wrath. Gave you opportunities, many opportunities. Didn't buy them up. So there's some terrible contrast here. Those who were only used for God's purpose of election and those who were part of his election of grace. Which one are you? Are you part of his election of grace? Has he seen you since before the beginning of time? And plans to draw you and call you and justify you and glorify you through the gospel? Well, there's only one way to know. Am I like Abraham? When God calls, do I go? When God asks me to wait, do I wait without wavering? When God asks me to do hard things, do I do them? That last point there, all of Abraham's spiritual characteristics are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel. So when those who rejected Christ in the first century, they were proclaiming to God, I'm a vessel of wrath. I'm a vessel of wrath. And those in Acts 2 who came out from among them, we're vessels of mercy. We're like Abraham, our father. We're going to come. So therefore, all who are baptized into Christ are Abraham's seed, heirs to the promise, like Isaac, a child of promise. So where's that leave us? Well, like Paul said in Romans chapter 11, the wisdom, who's been his counselor, who's ever given to him, we can't even hardly comprehend this. And it really wasn't my design today to really explain that. My purpose is just to get us thinking. There's an eternal purpose, which includes Christ and the church. There are two classes of people coming down through the history of the world. Vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and vessels of mercy prepared beforehand for glory. And your decisions, as you live your life, are going to put you in one or the other. And this isn't temporary, this is eternal. We just have a little while to to declare our allegiance, to determine whether we're going to fit into God's eternal purpose, even though the gospel has weak things and base things and despised things and things that don't make any sense at all, like Abraham. We're just going to do it. We're just going to do what God says. We don't care if it makes sense. We don't care if the world laughs about it. We're just going to do what he said because we're like Abraham. We just do whatever God says to do. And that's all we have to do. Just trust and obey. And so, brethren, as we pick up our song of encouragement this evening, we just need to ask ourselves that one simple question. Where do I want to spend my eternity? Do I want to work with God, or do I want to fight against God? Do I want to be a child of Abraham like Ishmael, or a child of Abraham like Isaac? If you've never been baptized, I know the answer to that question, and you know the answer to that question. You are not Abraham's seed. You are not heirs according to the promise. And if you're living a life, a double life, one life here, another life in the world, you're not like Abraham. And every week we give you the opportunity to leave that behind. And I hope tonight, as many as can or will, we're giving you the opportunity. If we can help you in any way, would you please come while we now stand and sing.